Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Are you free or are you a slave? This is the question put forth by St. Paul this morning as he writes to the church at Galatia. He is writing for them to be free from their slavery to the law, their slavery to their own sins, and to be free in Christ. As we explore the saint's words this morning, we will seek to have a better understanding of what it means to be a slave in the sense that he is talking about. He is addressing specifically an early church struggle, which was called the Judaizers, which demanded that Greek converts to Christianity not only follow the new covenant, but the old covenant law as well. But there are other facets that we'll want to be aware of as we pass our way through it. In this, there are two types of negative slavery that we must discuss. First, it is the one that St. Paul addresses directly. Those who would say that we must do something in order to earn the grace which we find in Christ. This still exists today, of course, and it is not new. For as they say, there is nothing new under the sun. The second aspect is a slavish devotion to sin that we can sometimes find within ourselves and was our nature before we became free in Christ. One of the first controversies that arose in the fledgling church was whether the converts to Christianity were still bound to the old covenant. Must Christians be circumcised and obey the dietary laws of the first covenant? Or had they been freed? If you love bacon as I do, then you know what the church eventually decided. We are freed from the law, freed to follow Christ. But there are those today who would do the same thing as these early church leaders who led astray. There are those who would say that you must be Anglican to be a true Christian. You must worship with a certain prayer book or use a certain translation of the Bible. You must use a certain kind of music when you worship. You must be Republican or Democrat to be a true Christian. We can just as easily add to the requirements of salvation as those in the first century did. And we see this happening throughout all of history. As we contemplate this, I should beg us all a serious question and call us to a little introspection and self-exploration. Do you truly believe that you are freed by Christ and Christ alone? Does your salvation rest in him alone? Or have you added to the requirements for yourself and for others? We are called to be freed in Christ. We are called to trust in him alone, and we shall not add to this. And yet throughout the history of the church, we have seen her members or leaders adding to the requirements of salvation. Of course, the most poignant example of this straying comes from the Catholic Church before the Reformation. The leaders heaped upon believers more and more requirements for salvation. And when the Reformation finally broke, the rallying cry was sola gratias, sola fide, sola Christe, sola scripture, sola Deo gloria. That is, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. This is not just a rallying cry for the Reformation, but the Christian call to belief, and we shall not add any more to it, nor take away from Christ. We shall learn to trust him alone, and in that, we shall strive to live to God's glory alone. And to do this, we must trust God alone. And now the second facet of this passage. having explored the question of whether we may add requirements to salvation or are we trusting in Christ alone, the next question is this: are we slaves to our sins, or do we prefer the freedom that we have in Christ? I want to plant a small seed in your mind before we dive into this, because the third question that we will ask today is closely tied to it, and that is, do you prefer holiness? Do you prefer God's holiness and pursuing Him, or do you prefer your own sin? When Adam chose the fruit of the garden, he rebelled against God. He welcomed into the world and from sin into the world, and from him we have inherited our sinful nature. It is the curse handed down from father to son and mother to daughter, the curse that makes us want to rule over each other, makes us want to set ourselves up and be our own gods, and to be gods for others. For me, recently, I noticed a particularly poignant example in my heart. My own inclination to not only want to be others' gods and to run from God and to rule over others, but even worse, to be Christ as well. That is to say, altogether too often, I want to be others' saviors. I want to fix everything for them. And worse yet, I want the glory for myself. These sins are sneaky. I want people to trust in me and see me as their savior. I want the praise and I get when I do good. But this is not my calling. My calling, and all of our callings, is not to be a redeemer for people, but to point them to our Redeemer. Our calling as Christians is to point people to Christ and to our Heavenly Father. And this is what Jesus is getting at in Matthew 5:16, when he calls people to let their light so shine before all, that they might see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. It is not for our glory that we do good works. It is not for our glory that we strive to be kind and to serve one another. But rather, it is to point people to our Heavenly Father. But I digress. I use this as an example to show how easy it is to get tempted into sin, tempted into taking up a position that is not ours to take, tempted to want to trample down others that we might have what we want. It is easy to get into our hearts a slavish devotion to sin and losing sight of our wholehearted pursuit of Christ. St. Paul puts this another way. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. We, of course, echo this when we share in the confession in morning prayer, and we say, I have done the things that I ought not to have done, and left undone those things that I ought to have done. Friends, make no mistake. If we are not in Christ, if we are not his bondservant, we are slaves to sins. If we are not fleeing sin and turning to Christ, we are slaves to that sin which separates us from God, from our fellow human beings, and leads to our death, not only physical death, but spiritual death. We are called to guard our hearts against these sins so that we will not return to slavish devotion to the passions of our hearts and flesh, but to flee the sin and turn to Christ. Now we find ourselves at the third point. St. Paul talks about being children of the free woman, and that points to our freedom in Christ. There is an important distinction to be made here. What is it that we are freed to? We are freed to obedience. As we have been slaves to sin, Christ has freed us that we might follow him, so that we might be made obedient to God and to what he calls us to. Christ has purchased us from our owner, who is sin, that we might be his bondservant, and not just his bondservant alone, but be adopted as sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. That, my friends, is the good news of the gospel. But we are not to remain here. We are not to say, well, that's neat. We have been made free. Now let me go back to my sinful ways. No, we are set free so that we can freely walk with the Lord and freely know him. Here, an action is required of us, an action that comes out of knowing God and the endowment of the Holy Spirit, and that is that we turn from those sins of old and dwell richly in Christ. We do a full-fledged about-face and go running to him. Perhaps in Scripture, the most beautiful example of this comes from the tale of the prodigal son. The son has left his father and squandered the father's riches. Think about humanity for a moment. We were created to dwell richly in the garden, to walk with God in the cool of the day, to know him as we know our best friend or our spouse, but even better, because in the garden, in the early days of the new planet, there was no sin. There was no separation between us and man and between us and God. And yet, we know sin came into the world. We know the horrible after effects, just on the most basic level. Heartache, pain, and sorrow are all from sin. Torment, injustice, brother turning against brother and sister against sister. These actions are not what creation was meant to be. But yet, this is what we have done with what we inherited from the Father. We have squandered the riches that God has given us. When we hear the call of Christ, when we look in the mirror truthfully and we see ourselves clearly, we see that we have sinned against the Father and are not worthy to be called his son. But we trudge back to the Father time and again, and while we are still a long ways off, he sees us, and he comes running to us and embraces us. He prepares the fatted calf for us. But Christ is not the older brother of the story. Christ is the one who made that way home easy. He has opened the door for our return. Christ is the way and the truth and the life, and it is through him that we come to the Father. But what would we do then? If welcomed with the most glorious feast, would we choose to go back to the swine? Would we go back to eating the slop that is meant for the pigs? No, we are called to arise each day, to repent, to turn back to God, and dwell in him richly through Christ. And this brings us back to the early question. It is not my own, but one I heard recently, and I think is particularly helpful. Do you prefer sin, or do you prefer holiness? I think that the critical word here is prefer. For if we are honest, we know that we still sin. We know that when the day gets long and we are tired, and we have been asked one too many questions, we snap at our spouse. We say the words that we should not say. We know that we think hard thoughts, hateful thoughts that are not kind towards others. We know that we struggle with taming the beasts of lusts. We know that if we ask God to reveal to us the sins that we are struggling with, it'll be more like looking under our refrigerator, which has not been moved in an embarrassing long time, with a flashlight, than smelling freshly laundered sheets. But what is it that we prefer? Would we rather be unkind to our spouses, be hateful towards others? Do we prefer sexual immorality and laying down in the collected dust of forgotten years? Or do we prefer that we ask God to continue to sanctify us and to draw us nearer? Do we long that God would give us penitential hearts that would allow us to come running back to him day in and day out? If we are truly free, if we are free to repent, free to learn what the love of God is, and that it is in obedience and self-sacrifice that we love him truly. If we are truly free, we are free to follow what God has called us into. We are free to follow his word, to be a living sacrifice that is a sweet-smelling offering to him. A loving obedience to the word of God is what true Christian freedom looks like. For we are no longer burdened with that horrible pain of sin, but invited to joyful obedience empowered by the Holy Spirit. I realize that sermons about sin are not the most fun to sit through. And we live in a time when the idea of sin is either taboo or has been turned into a rebellion against the social norm. But for the Christian, seeing our own sin gives us broken and contrite hearts, which we offer to God, and he is pleased. For he can use our broken and contrite hearts and to draw us back to him and to glorify himself. It is in this that he desires. So take heart, dear friends. If this sermon has hit a nerve, let us repent together. Let us turn back to God and let us say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven, and am no more worthy to be called your son. And let us feel his warm embrace in Christ as he runs to greet us as we turn from those sins. We have been given the opportunity not to be the children of slavery, but to be the sons and daughters of God. So let us rejoice and be glad, dear friends, for it is in Christ that we have this freedom. It is in Christ that we know God. And so as we reach the last couple weeks of Lent, let us with penitential hearts rejoice in this good and beautiful fact that we have been made free and adopted and grafted into the Christian family. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.